Again tonight, we're blessed to be able to come and worship God together without fear. I don't know how long these days will last. Tomorrow night, the Lord willing, we'll be talking about a lesson we've entitled, Living in an Ungodly Nation. And as we've said throughout the week, that nations that have done what we are doing do not continue to exist. We need to pray for our nation because God has been blessing America. But those blessings are going to come to an end in His own time. On Monday evening, we talked about denominationalism versus the church. Then Tuesday night, we talked about the false teachers and how to recognize who they are. Last night, we talked about the Apostle Paul, especially in Acts chapter 17, as we spent a few days with him from chapter 9 through chapter 17. To give us a little bit of encouragement of what it takes to be a disciple of Christ and a preacher of the gospel and to go out into all the world and preach it to those who like it and to those who don't like it. In tonight's lesson, we want to give you some evidences for why you believe in what you believe in God's Word, to give you more courage, to know that we do have the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. And the theory of evolution is widely believed and defended, and you know that. It was taught when I was in school, and maybe even when you were in school. If you're younger than I know that that's so. And we need to teach our children and our grandchildren, don't we, Danny? Yes, sir. That's what they're hearing in the cartoons, on television, on the nearly every television show, news broadcast, newspaper, on the computer, or wherever you look, evolution is being taught. And I want to read to you from a newspaper article a few years ago from Fort Wayne, Indiana newspaper. I want you to hear what was said about evolution and how it began. A few billion years ago, back when Earth was new, rivers rolled down from barren mountains into great dead seas. Rainstorms squalled and lightning flashed. Lava hissed and spewed from giant volcanoes. Nothing lived on that long ago earth, but the oceans were astir with promise. They swirled and simmered. A primordial soup. I had to look that word up. It means all the elements of a soup that held the raw material of life. Somehow, notice the definiteness of his terms. Somehow, probably, in the first billion years of our world's existence, that promise was fulfilled. A nondescript glob of chemicals crossed some vague and wondrous boundary to become the first living thing. From such unfeeling chemicals, Earth eventually filled with a teeming diversity of life, from microbes to men. Well, that settles it for me. I'm ready to go home, aren't you? Give you enough evidence where we came from? Well, how could you question that? Probably, maybe, somehow, yeah. Billions of years ago. My, I don't know why anybody can't believe that. About 20 years ago, I sat at the feet of a college professor from Canada. And there were over 300 students in that auditorium, and he had every one of them laughing at creationists and creation. And that there was a God that created all of this. And they were all laughing. Evolution is evolution, isn't it? They misspelled it, didn't they? It should be E-V-I-L. The article was entitled, In the Beginning. Notice when it was written, in 1980. Long time ago. Has it gotten better since then? What do you think? We know where we came from, don't we? I could have saved NASA billions and billions of dollars if they'd have just asked Bo. I'd have taken half of it and told them where we came from. Because here is where we came from, isn't it? You can pillow your head tonight, and you already knew that, didn't you? You're not saying, "Oh, well, I didn't know that." Yes, in the beginning, God. Oh, you're just a Bible pounder. Well, what we're going to be relieved from is all of this mess when the Lord comes again, aren't we? Because we believe that very first verse in the Bible, that God did all of this. And we want to look at tonight some of the things, or a few of the things that God has done. Listen again to Nehemiah 9 and verse 6. Thou, even thou art Lord alone. Thou hast made heaven, the heaven of heavens, with all their hosts. And we're going to find out about them in a while. The earth and all the things that are therein, the seas and all that is therein. And thou preservest them all, and the host of heaven worshipeth thee. Psalm 33 and verse 6. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made. Didn't we just read that in Genesis 1 and verse 1? In the beginning, God. Out of nothing He created it all, didn't He? By the word of the Lord were the heavens made. Genesis said He spoke and it was done. And all the host of them by the breath of His mouth. He gathereth the waters of the sea together as an heap. He layeth up the depth in the storehouses. Now what is He talking about there? You know, you can't get a handful of water and say, okay, I'm going to mold it and shape it. You ever try that? Try it again. God can do that. What is holding the seas and the oceans where they are? It is by His word that all things consist. All things are held together. It is like a dry good that we can maybe mold and shape like clay. He says this about the seas. He gathereth the waters of the sea together as an heap. He layeth up the depth in the storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Who can do that? Nobody but God. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe. Did you ever see something in your jaw drop? Wow. Maybe it was the first time you ever visited Niagara Falls. I'm sure I stood there with my mouth open, looking kind of foolish. Oh. Or some other spectacular sight. Stand in awe of Him. For He spake and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast. Isn't that so? Sure it is. Listen to Exodus 20, verse 9. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou nor thy son, nor thy daughter, nor thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor the stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth. 6 literal 24-hour days. Anybody disagree with that? You're disagreeing with God if you do, and no, we don't disagree with that, do we? The Bible tells me so. That's what we sing to our little children, isn't it? Yes. 6 literal days he created all these things, and He didn't need to take that long. What somebody said, He could have done it in 6 seconds. That's the power of our God. In Exodus 31, wherefore the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath to observe the Sabbath throughout their generations for a perpetual covenant. It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever, for in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth. Over and over the Bible tells us. Yet some members of the church can't get it right. Some think there's great gaps, billions of years between the 24-hour days, and some think that the 24 each day was billions of years. What does the book say? If we can't believe this, what else in the Bible can't we believe? Mark 10 and verse 6. But from the beginning of the creation, God made them male and female. If the days were billions of years, or if they were billions of years between each day, and they were created on the sixth day, then it wasn't in the beginning, was it? See, I'm not much of a mathematician, but I got that figured out. The accuracy of the book of Acts. There are those who have looked through, beginning from cover to cover of the Old and New Testaments, and tried to find out one word, one sentence, one statement, one anything that they could pick apart and show where the Bible is wrong. Your Mormon friends will tell you that. When you show them error after error after error in their original writings of the Book of Mormon. And they say, oh, the Bible's just filled with errors. Make them show them to you. Luke, the physician, the historian, mentions 32 countries, 54 cities, 9 Mediterranean islands. He alludes to 95 different people, 62 of which are not mentioned by any other New Testament writer. Every one of those people go through and they check out the countries, the cities, the islands, and all of the people. Did they really live where he said they lived and when they lived? Critics. Looking, picking, like they tried to with Jesus. 27 of those people that he mentioned are unbelievers, chiefly civil or military officials. They tried to find out, did those civil or military officials really live? And they said, oh no, even Pilate. There wasn't anybody named Pilate until they unearthed a little piece of clay that showed that Pilate was the a ruler in Jerusalem. The book of Acts will definitely stand the test of historical examination. I wish Ramsey, I think, is the name of the fella that went over to the Holy Lands to prove Luke wrong. An atheist. And when he got through all of his searching and trying, he said, Luke is a reliable historian. One of the best. The accuracy of the Bible, not just the book of Acts. It doesn't begin with this, does it? In a land far, far away. What begins like that? Mythical stories, don't they? Sure they do. It doesn't talk about Never Never Land, does it? No. It is specific. Just like Luke in the book of Acts, it gives names and places and dates. In the year of such and such a king's reign, and so on, over and over. And critics have tried to find, as we said, errors. External evidences. Psalm 19 and verse 1. The heavens declare the glory of God. I tell you what, to a Christian, and not to everybody in this world, when you look around you and you look up, the heavens declare the glory of God, they shout it. You look up in the heavens and see. And we can't see with the naked eye all that God has created. We know that now, don't we? And the firmament showeth His handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line is gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them hath He set a tabernacle for the sun. And I'm telling you, seeing is believing. There are some people who will not believe when they see. You can show them Mark 16 and verse 16. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. I know it says that, one lady told me. I know it, that's what it says. But. No buts about it, are there? The heavens do declare the glory of God. He is an awesome God. Seeing is believing. Notice in the same Psalm and verse 7. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. In God's creation, all of His creation, when you look up, a sensible person looks around and sees what God has created, and look what's going on around us even now in this time of the year. The beauties that God has created, the sounds of the birds, the softness of the rain, it doesn't come down in bricks, does it? The beauty of the snow that we got tired of a while ago. And even the cold is necessary, isn't it? Sure it is. All of these things are here for a reason. And His Word leads us. Let me ask you, did this evolve or is there design behind that? Well, we got all these highways coming together and I don't know. And one day we woke up and there was that clover leaf. Now, you'd lock me up in a loony farm if I taught that to your kids, wouldn't you? If I were your teacher's high school teacher or grade school teachers, and your kids came home and said, "Mom, look at this. This just happened." "Oh, how'd you hear that?" "Well, our teacher told us." "Well, you know what time it'll be? Time to get a new teacher, wouldn't it?" Yet you can teach things like all of this creation of God and say it just happened billions and billions and through some primordial soup somewhere. All of this occurred? No. We know there was a mind over the matter, don't we? When this building was built and you needed pews, did you get to worry and call a business meeting, don't know what we're going to do, and then come in one day and there they were? No. Somebody put them together, didn't they? Earth's ozone protects us from harmful rays. Let me ask you again. All by chance? No design, no designer? Our Milky Way galaxy with the 400 billion stars. Wow, how big is this thing? You know how long it would take you to get across our galaxy? 100,000 light years. Now what is 100,000 light years? Let's see. Our galaxy is 588 septillion. I'm not making up that number. That's a real number. 588 septillion miles across it, traveling at the speed of 186,000 miles per second. Muhammad Ali, the boxer of a few years ago, said he was so fast he could turn the lights out and be in bed before it got dark. No, he can't. 186,000 miles a second. For 100,000 years, just to get across our galaxy. You know, I almost made it to 6 feet before I started shrinking. 5 foot 11 and a half. Oh, I was going to be something. What am I in the sight of God? We're going to continue this thing. I am so... You can't even see me in the full spectrum of everything. You got this clear? How big is our galaxy? 186,000 miles per second times 60. Can you figure that out? 11,160,000 miles in 1 minute. 11,160,000 miles in 1 minute. Remember on Star Trek, some of us, if you've seen it, how they go warp 6 and warp 7 and the ship was falling apart? See, you can't do 55 out in space and get anywhere. Or 70. Or like some 90 that pass you on the highway, right? Wasn't you, was it? Psalm 19 and verse 1, the firmament showeth his handiwork. The word firmament means an endless expanse. It just goes on and on and on and on. Our Milky Way galaxy, the home of our solar system. From the sun to Pluto. More recent estimates, when I first started this study a few years ago, they didn't have this many stars in our galaxy. Now they estimate 400 billion stars in our galaxy alone. Our solar system is in the exact place in our galaxy, so it will not be pulled apart by gravity. If it's in another part of our galaxy, we're destroyed. We're in the perfect place. Our sun is the right size and distance from the earth. If we're farther away from the sun, what happens to us? You think the winter, Jack, that's right. The winter was bad. And if we are closer to the sun, what are we? We're crispy critters, aren't we? See? But that just happened to be our world, as that newspaper writer said. All of this just happened to be. The Andromeda galaxy and its companions, the nearest galaxy to Earth, about 200 million light years away at 186,000 miles a second for 2 million years. You're beginning to get an idea of how big this thing is that God has created? But we're small in comparison. The constellation Hercules, when we look at it through our powerful telescopes, we see hundreds of blotches. Each blotch is a galaxy with 100 billion stars, they've estimated so far. I don't know what they'll find out next year. There are estimated, or known rather, 2,500,000 known galaxies other than our own. And they estimate, astronomers do, that there are over 1 trillion galaxies, each with their billions of stars. And where are we in all this? Almost 6 feet tall? No, you're not. Indeed, God, how are you, my Psalm